Wildfires which spread across bushland on Africa's tallest mountain have finally been extinguished after destroying around 13 square miles of land. The fires ravaged across Mount Kilimanjaro, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, for 2 weeks before thunderstorms helped get them under control. In the same week that the mountain went on fire, a UNESCO report revealed that the mountain's last remaining glaciers are set to vanish by 2050 because of global warming. In part two of Amy Nirieda's three-part series, she visits Kilimanjaro in Tanzania to examine the destruction that climate change is having on the mountain and surrounding areas.
For a biologist, it's enormous what you can find here. It's like Garden Eden, and people don't realize and destroy it so much, you see. But I'm not very optimistic, to be honest.
Claudia Himp is a German entomologist on Mount Kilimanjaro. She and her husband Andreas have been living and working on Africa's tallest mountain for 32 years.
We saw a lot of changes, good changes and not so good changes. There was not a single car coming up to Kidia, for example. We had to go everything by foot. People are well fed now, well educated, but of course also natural landscapes and natural vegetation and animals, they decline rapidly because it's mostly the activity of people who are changing the environment.
In the 3 decades that the Himps have been living on the mountain, Tanzania's population has increased by 43 million. And at 1,400 metres above sea level, there are up to 1,000 people living per square mile.
Savanna habitats are lost dramatically because they are growing crops like wheat and sunflower and maize fields.
That level of human activity, combined with an increasingly dry climate, has resulted in more frequent fires and melting ice caps.
My husband has been measuring precipitation, and in the last 100 years, the average went down by 30%. So up there, it didn't get hotter, but it got drier.
I left Claudia's house and travelled back down the southern slopes of Kilimanjaro to the nearest town of Moshi. There I met Mauli Bwabo, who lives near the areas ravaged by fires.
To live so close to the fires is too risky, but you don't have options, because I like this city, to be honest. When I look at the glaciers for the past 8 years, it's not the same like the year in 2008, 2009, the glaciers was enormous in the mountain. But today I can see the glaciers continue to fall down. It's scary because whenever I wake up early in the morning, see the snow in the mountain, I'm very pleased to start the day in that way.
While the safety of local residents and the preservation of biodiversity is a priority for the National Park Services, a major concern for local businesses is the destruction the fires are causing to the tourism industry.
Jambo, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Air Tanzania, Captain Mufadal being assisted by Hope.
On my sunrise arrival into Kilimanjaro Airport, prime time for safari tours, I noticed that almost half the airplane was empty. Frankie Anakumbu, the assistant manager at a local cafe in Moshi, told me the fires were forcing tourists to delay their travel plans.
When some of the tourists see that the mountain during fire, they can postpone to come.
Heavy rains over the past week helped to quench the fires after a fortnight of attempts by fire services. It was the first drop of rain on the mountain in 2 months, and the consequences of that dry spell are devastating. Here's entomologist Claudia Himp again.
Everything which is immobile will die. Such fires are devastating for birds now maybe breeding, or for all kinds of insects and reptiles which cannot move away quickly enough. So this means a loss of biodiversity, of course. The plants will recover. The plants are more or less adapted to fire up there.
That's Claudia Himp ending that report from Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania by Amy Nirieda. It's 8:52.